Great music. Seems like we're in an episode of Barney Miller, but it's very fun. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Hey, folks, it's election day. We've made it. Congratulations.
Not so fast.
Well, we made it this far. We'll see how we do the rest of the time here over the next 24, 36 hours. But anyway, good morning and welcome. It is a delight to have you all with us on this election day, Tuesday, November 8th. Let me introduce the panel and then we'll get straight to business. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I made it through the night.
You look very dapper in your flag tie.
I had to make a decision this morning. I almost put the scream on my tie with a scream on it. And I said, no, that would be helpful to somebody else. So, because the only time you would scream, of course, is if that happened.
Yes.
So I put my American flag tie on and my red suspenders.
See it on Facebook.
Yes, thank you, Rosemary, for doing
that. I've posted
that.
It.
Excellent.
Memorable.
So you look great.
Well, I don't feel great.
All right, well, we'll see.
Until it's over.
We'll see.
Me too. I have a stomach ache.
We realize Alan and I will be in this room until the wee hours of the morning.
Yeah.
So, are you going to get out at all?
No, I don't think. No.
We'll be playing Frank Sinatra. Right. The wee hours of the morning.
That's right. If you just want to sleep, like slip a couple slices of pizza under the door, that'd be great. But Rosemary Armeo is here, head of the journalism program at the University at Albany. Good morning.
Good morning.
Very nice. And Mike Spain is with us, associate editor of the Times Union newspaper. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. And all of us will have late evenings.
Absolutely. That's right. Well, what is your evening,
yeah,
Mike?
How does that work?
How do you work? How does it work for you?
Well, we kind of everybody starts. Obviously, we're covering it already, just as you are, you know,
sure.
Covering the turnout, et cetera, et cetera. I even ran into one of my colleagues at the voting at the polling place this morning. Paul Bukowski, one of our photographers, was shooting at people, shooting photos of people
who are
voting,
thank you.
Including me. And so we'll be covering it all day long. But
what are the mechanics?
The mechanics are that we try to get the other news out of the way as much as possible and close those pages.
Right.
You know, leaving a few open for late sports or any breaking non-election.
So you might have what do they call that when it's a total headline across the top of the page?
A banner, a blowout.
So it could be something like Dewey Beach Truman.
You got it. That's exactly right. And our design director, Tom Palmer, has already put together three options.
Really?
One that has one of the leading candidates, another for the other leading candidate, and a third one that kind of suggests...
Question mark.
1980. Or 2000.
2000,
too close to call. 1980 was
Isn't
no question.
Isn't that interesting?
Now, and excuse me for using this term, but the drop-dead time for you where you have to go to press no matter what...
Well, the arrangement we made is that we'll push the button for the last page at 12:45. But if it's really close and it looks like we're going to get it, we'll communicate down the line. Or Rex will run out to the press room and say, "Stop the presses!" No. But it may not be that dramatic.
Will you Facebook Live that if he does, please,
I hope so. You know, the problem with that whole movie situation of somebody running and saying, "Stop the presses," have you ever been in a press room when the presses are running? No one would hear
you. Can't hear them. Well,
was that Humphrey Bogart? Was it Humphrey Bogart?
You saw it a few places. I like, what was the Keaton movie, you know, the...
The newspaper.
Right.
That was the best one.
Yeah.
With Sally Field, right?
Yes.
They did.
No. Marissa Tomei is the girl in it, his wife. And Michael Keaton.
Of something else.
Wasn't there something called The Verdict?
I'm thinking of Absence
of Malice.
Absence of Malice. Absence of Malice, one of the worst movies
yes,
about journalism.
That's what I'm
ever.
Thinking of. Okay. Wow. Good morning and welcome. So here's basically how
you didn't ask me. I'm horning in on the Times Union tonight, not just for the pizza.
So what are you doing?
Whatever they want me to do.
I'm
going to
give her some pages to do a little copy editing. You know, keep her busy.
Because you have to be in a newsroom on election day. You just have to be.
Well, we have one here.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't get an invite from
you. No, we didn't even think. I figured you would be like teaching or something.
Yeah.
We have pizza too.
By the way,
Newsrooms looking for Rosemary.
What do you feed them?
I'll go.
You feed people?
Well, you know, we'll probably have pizza, salad, some assorted things like that. You know, some desserts. Why? Do you have something better over here?
No, we have pizza and wings.
Yeah, pizza, wings. Oh. So I don't know if we have salad or not.
No. I don't know if we went for that option. You know, we got a few who like the healthy.
Yeah. Ian took care of it, so I'm pretty sure he did some vegetarian options.
And he is.
Yeah, he is a vegetarian. So that is all going on. And
we're going to try to Facebook Live Rosemary talking at our newsroom. But I'll have to figure out how to do that, which may mean
we're going to have technology on the Times Union tonight.
Rosemary, like Rosemary won't be live tweeting all night anyway.
Rosemary will be sternly looking at the newsroom and say, "This isn't the way we do it in my college classes."
I'm not going to honor that with the reply. The academy and the profession ought to be mixing together and learning from each other.
As hopefully we do every morning.
Yeah.
Yes. I will say that, just a reminder, but we have election coverage. Obviously, we'll be covering, as Mike nicely mentioned, we'll be covering all day today. And, of course, through our news magazines, Midday Magazine, Northeast Report, Northeast Report Late Edition. And then beginning at 6:30, we're going to be taking All Things Considered straight through till 8 o'clock tonight. They'll be covering the early polls closing at 7:30. And then Alan and I will be on at 8 o'clock and with the network in and out through the wee hours of the morning till whenever we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
So that'll be that.
There's actually a very cool graphic for those of you interested in the New York Times that where they map out exactly when you might know who's won. And they calculated the closing of polls in different states with how many, of course, electors you need and where they are located. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and many of the newspapers are doing that. Or, as my mom would say, they're all doing it now.
They're all doing it now.
Well, the Times is interesting because it gives you, it not only tells you when the polls are closing, but it tells you when you can expect results.
Yeah.
So you can, and at what point we may know. Because of early voting, and this is a not off-topic question, but maybe you all know the answer to it. So early voting, am I right on this? Early voting in Florida, the number of those who voted surpassed the number who voted last year, or 4 years ago.
I thought it was 2,000, but maybe you're right.
So my question is, have those votes, can they be counted now, today, or they still counted tonight? Meaning that if you have like 80 or 90% of the votes already counted, then we could get results from Florida pretty quickly.
Well, right. I mean, I think they would not disclose.
No, they wouldn't disclose it.
They may have it already. They may
yes.
Have those
well, that's
numbers.
What I mean.
Yeah,
it's a rigged system. They're already counted. They didn't even look at the ballots. That was that announcement. I'm Donald Trump, and I approve that message.
That was a phenomenal piece on the Saturday Night Live, which I saw during the daytime the other day. Yeah.
So the question being, what do you think? First of all, let's talk a little bit about the closing arguments that were made yesterday. I don't know about you all, but I was up till late at night watching the final sprints throughout and Hillary Clinton's rally in Philadelphia and Donald Trump's rally in New Hampshire, and he was also in Scranton yesterday. As far as closing arguments, what were your thoughts on how the candidates did? Let me go to Alan first.
Well, I have to tell you, I was watching CNN. I'm sorry, Rosemary. I was watching CNN and watching I tried first to watch it on C-SPAN, but they didn't do a good job of it. So I watched Bruce Springsteen.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
He was pretty good on C-SPAN.
It was phenomenal. Yeah. And then I watched Michelle give this wonderful, wonderful speech. And then I watched Bill come on. Now, I had watched a full speech by Bill in the afternoon, and then I watched it again, this new one, at night. I thought the afternoon speech was even a little better, although he was very good last night. And then I watched Hillary come on and be Hillary. She was okay. It wasn't the passion of a Michelle or an Obama.
Well, you just have three tremendous orators when you have Michelle Obama, Barack Obama, and Bill Clinton. I mean, they've all have long histories. So it's difficult to stand up to that. But Hillary does okay, I thought.
I would say okay is a good word. Yeah.
My only thing was that I thought it was too much of a stump speech and not kind of reflective, of what she had been through on the campaign trail and the importance of it and so forth. But it was good, and I thought that the event looked great. The whole event looked great to be on
the numbers were
Independence Mall in Philadelphia. Rosemary, you're sighing.
Well, I'm just the worrywart today, and there is Jeffrey Lord pointing out that our guy doesn't need the boss. He doesn't need the president. He's just out there on his own star power.
What did
and
you see
his
that?
Family. Oh, it's all over. It's on CNN. I had on. I walked into
Trump
my
you
sister.
Did.
My sister had it on.
Oh, that's
Trump himself has said that. That I'm here by myself. I don't need the superstars.
Well, the New York Times had an article about that, too, of being sort of the lonely candidate on the road.
Yeah.
But So
kind of desperate, they said,
Well, to me, it was a celebration, right? It was. They were making it out to be a celebration at the end of the campaign to get people out to vote. And I don't know. I thought the optics were amazing of having
the friends who were there said it was legitimately huge and hard to get into and that just a ton of people.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a bunch of friends there, too.
For me, the Philadelphia rally mirrored the kinds of things you saw in 2008 for Obama.
Absolutely.
In Chicago, in Millennium Park.
Those levels of enthusiasm.
But haven't we pointed out many times that Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump have had that sort of excitement?
Yes, they have.
Along
That's right. I agree. Bernie Sanders had it, even here in Albany on the same day, Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump both brought out really enthusiastic crowds. And Hillary's have been more subdued. I think it's been generally acknowledged.
So then that question becomes, is this kind of popularity transferable? Can you transfer from an Obama to a Hillary? Can you transfer? Now, certainly some you can, but how successful will that be?
I think that the pundits will have more data to look at tomorrow.
Well, Pennsylvania is the key to the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, I thought everybody was saying Florida. Once we know how Florida goes,
and I've heard that about North Carolina too. But
early night or late night, And right now, what are the numbers in Florida and North Carolina? I think they're like light blue, possibly to be blue, but they're still too close.
Very light blue, eggshell blue.
Right.
Which is better than beige, which would mean it was a toss-up state, right?
Yeah, well.
I
think North Carolina now is a toss-up. That's what I read last night.
Well, so we'll be watching all of this, and of course, again, we'll be offering coverage, and I know the Times Union will be updating their website
tons of local, the smaller races that are nonetheless very important. We'll have that, too, if you will.
Yeah.
Excellent. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back, and then we'll go to a couple letters. Panel at WAMC.org is the email address. Panel, P-A-N-E-L.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking. Panel at WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. And it's Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Mike Spain. We have a few letters we'll get to, and then we're up for a news break at the bottom of the hour.
Yep. Okay, so John says, how many wives of Trump supporters who've gone along for domestic bliss do you think will vote Clinton in the secrecy of the voting booth? All right, there's that. And there's another one on the floor.
Oh, all right. Okay, this is the one you've read. I'll take that one.
Thank you very much. I feel like an old guy in a nursing home, and you guys take care of me. Okay. Oh,
don't feel that way.
Joe,
wait a minute.
Well said. Oh, Joe says, while everyone is speculating on the election results, my forecast is that we're in for only a one-term president. Regardless of who wins, gridlock will continue unabated. Our fractured electorate will not be repaired by then, and the age of the president will become a factor. What does the panel think?
I refuse. I love your letters. Thank you. I refuse to start talking about the next election. Give us like 2 days.
Please. Don't.
Please.
Put another way, don't make me puke. Okay.
I think it could well be a one-term presidency. I want it to be a Hillary presidency because if nothing else, the curse will have been broken.
Yeah.
The curse so it's worth it. And we have some Supreme Court openings that one opening and possible others that like attended to in the 4 years. That'd be great.
Joe is going to tell you. Senate.
Yeah.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah. And Michael says, now I'm going to read one here. He says, "Don't worry, Alan. Hillary will be declared at 8:30. You'll be in bed by 9.
Well, there you go.
That ain't going to happen.
Well, no, I need you for other stuff until at least 11.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And there is that pizza.
Yeah, we got pizza. We got pizza and wings to go through. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll go more on the election and some of the other. There's a lot of elements to this. We want to get to many of them this morning. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back after this. All right, we've all been newly caffeinated. We're ready for round two, and welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Mike Spain, I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. If you are just joining us or you haven't tuned in the last couple of days, we did change our email address, so if you can think about that when you send your emails to us, it's now panel, P-A-N-E-L, panel at WAMC.org. We have a couple letters, and we'll go on to some other stuff, because I would like to get to a local story that Mike Spain has, which is of great interest, I think, on this election day.
Yeah. Well,
very pertinent.
Yeah. Okay. Dear panel, I take it as a good omen that Hillary voted this morning before Trump. That's a sign that she will win. I love you guys. Can't wait to get in my car after teaching my morning class and listen to all of you sort out what matters most. And that's best. I've been getting a lot, by the way, Joe and Rosemary and Mike. I've been getting a lot of mail from people who are incredibly grateful for the panel. Really, just very interesting that we've heard from so many people.
With you for the whole 2 years here through this entire process, from the beginning of Hillary making her announcement and Donald Trump making his announcement and the other 40
and the disbelief that
the other 47 people who announced that they were going to run for president.
And we're all ready to start tomorrow.
Where's George Pataki during this election season? Have we seen him?
He was up there in New Hampshire.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. But, you know, hope springs eternal, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. John says, there are a few of us left who remember the rise of Nazism, and not from the history books, but as the daily news. The intimidation of the opposition, especially the media, the screaming rallies of popular support. The Trump playbook has always put revenge as the top priority. DT meaning, of course, you know, has already promised to deal harshly with the media when he gets his hands on the levers of government. I have to say, I was watching CNN, sorry about that, Rosemary, yesterday, and on comes James Taylor, JT, and Kim, his wonderful, wonderful wife. And they were so articulate. They were so reasoned. That instead of just, you know, playing what she's been doing, and by the way, he's been doing that for Democratic candidates for quite a while now, he was so on point. I've always loved the guy. But anyway, dear panel, thanks for keeping me reasonably sane these last few weeks. I love Rosemary.
Oh, send me that one. Give me that one.
Question. Yeah. Where was Tim?
Here, thanks. Okay, I haven't come to that.
Question.
All right.
Where was Tim Kaine last night?
He was playing harmonica with Bon Jovi.
Oh, was he?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
And he sounded pretty damn good, I thought.
Yeah.
And he's been he was on.
We had a harmonica playing vice president in the past? I'm wondering.
No, it's interesting.
We had
we get all kinds of these questions. Did any other president dye their hair? Did you see that?
Yes.
I thought. Letter?
Well, Ronald Reagan did. We know that.
I said Ronald Reagan, and that's Ray had the best answer.
Yes.
Because, well, I'm not sure, but Washington wore a wig.
And Susan says, long lines with many first-time voters in East Longmeadow, Massachusetts. Many people who didn't know they had to check out as well as in. Yeah, that's interesting. I voted in Great Barrington. I don't remember checking out.
I don't remember checking out either, than your vote is cast, and then they say thank you very much.
I do remember going to the Big Y afterwards and checking out there.
There you go.
And
get a little half and half.
And so I have to tell one story here, and that is that a very good friend of mine, let's just put it that way, teaches a class, and in the class was sitting, and he said to his class, how many of you voted, no hands went up, how many of you didn't vote, no hands went up. He said, okay, I want to know, you know, what's going on here? And the young woman said, wait, and she meant it. You mean the election is tomorrow?
Yeah. Yeah,
well, we've been voting for like the last couple of weeks across the country.
Well, yeah, you could
people
say
can
that.
Lose track. You mean it ends? Yeah. I mean, I gotta get it done by
but
today.
But not in New York.
I know, not in New York.
Yeah. John says I'm wearing a white rose. Oh, by the way, you'll never be able to do it in New York. I'll tell you why. Because both the Democrats and the Republicans, and here's where I have to really watch my anger and my mouth, they're dedicated to doing it the way it's always been done, which got them there. And they are not about to do early voting. They're not about to do initiative and referendum. They're not about to do the things that would really make a difference in this in the state of New York.
So I should ask you the same question tonight when your filter is lower, like later at night when you're
retired.
How do you really feel, Alan?
How do you really feel, Alan? Just how you go
how
off.
How would you really like to? How would you really like to cost the station a lot of money in
funds?
Oh
no!
I
don't want to swear.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for that. Yep. And that one, Joe says, hi, gang. I was wondering what your thoughts were on the proposition to relocate the Ulster County Family Court. I defer to you guys because you know far more about this than I do.
I think that the people of Ulster County should think seriously about it and make that decision on their own.
You're a bright man, Mark.
Oh, what do you think about Rudy Giuliani as Attorney General?
Attorney General of the United
States. Yeah, that's President-elect Trump has come out with that.
I never had any doubt about it.
Yeah. I mean, and, where will Chris Christie go? That's what I'd like.
He
to
wasn't
know,
on the list at all, which was. Interesting.
But he denied yesterday that
Department
he knew
of Transportation. Right.
What's Rince would be
Rince.
Rince Priebus. Sorry, I'm gonna have to learn his name if Trump gets in because he would be chief of staff.
That probably makes sense, yeah. And his sons, you know, there's an ad I saw, you know, like a pack ad against Trump that shows the pictures of the two Trump boys holding up a dead tiger and saying they're competing over which cabinet position they will get. You know, those kinds of things are rhetoric that the other side uses to scare you.
Yeah. Karina says, proud to be a U.S.-born Hispanic heritage woman voting for Hillary. America can thank its minorities for turning out today and tomorrow. I hope so. John says, I am wearing a white rose, an artificial one, and for a specific reason. The white rose was a group in Germany that opposed the fascists. I hope I won't need to continue wearing it. And Bob says, I like the Obamas and plan to vote for Hillary, but I think there's a point here. By inviting them to the White House, Michelle and Barack Obama have openly promoted rap artists who glorify misogyny, sexual objectification of women, and even date rape. What do you think?
Well, I don't...
There's not proof of all of that.
Yeah, I think it's question...
Rhetoric can get pretty heavy. I mean, why don't we stick to the things
I'm not documented? I'm not an expert, so I really...
I don't think that they have brought those artists who do the sort of things he's talking about, the awful lyrics and the bad words and stuff. Those are not the ones that Barack Obama and Michelle Obama have been promoting.
Wayne says, given the closeness and continuous candidates, is there a high likelihood that this gets decided in the courts? Well, that'll be interesting because now you got a 4-4 split on the on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, they'll be using a dartboard saying, which one will not?
Yeah, yeah. Jeremy says, over the course of this election cycle, my wife and I have had opportunity to speak about the whole ordeal, but we have kept our conversation largely from the ears of our children. My 10-year-old daughter feels strongly for Hillary, and when I question her as to why, she simply says she wants to see history. She believes that women need this opportunity because she doesn't want her opportunities in life to be limited by her gender. It's interesting that she has formed these opinions on her own. Proud parent here for her critical thinking. And Michael says, Trump couldn't get the boss or anyone else. Remember, all-star power he promised earlier, and then he brought us the erudite Ted Nugent. Now, let me just tell you that I read yesterday in the paper that the Patriots, Brady is for...
Yes, Tom Brady, the Patriots quarterback.
Trump. I'm afraid I can never, ever, even though my son is a great Patriots fan, I can never do that again. So sorry.
Because a single player on that
team
supports a candidate
you don't? Well, also the coach. Oh. I think the coach.
I don't know that Belichick. I don't think Belichick has ever said a complete sentence.
One of them. Some head guy said something, but no, the Patriots are off my list.
It's been a nasty campaign. It's been a contentious campaign, and you have an article about this.
A
very long campaign, and so. We are an anxious people, Mike.
Well, our medical writer, health writer, Claire Hughes, talked to some people about just that. A lot of people are stressed out.
Absolutely.
By this campaign and can't wait for it to be over. And they don't like the tension that has brought to households, to workplaces, to, circles of friends. We spoke to, quite a few people. But it has been... called election stress disorder. That was a quote. That was a term coined by a therapist.
ESD.
In
ESD.
Right. It's not exactly a disorder in the medical sense, according to John Forsyth, who's the director of the anxiety disorders program at the University of Albany. But he sees that there is a lot of causes of anxiety. This election system. One is the uncertainty of it.
Right.
Because every time you think one candidate's ahead and you sort of start to get used to that idea, another poll comes out or another FBI report comes out or another videotape comes out and it throws everything up in the air again.
Right.
And this kind of uncertainty is really in contrast to the way that we're hardwired. Our minds are hardwired. And we want to be prepared for impending danger and we want to know what's going on. Mm. This is the way our mind works, according to psychologists, and we're not able to really know what's going on. I mean, even if it turns out to not be favorable to your preferences tomorrow morning, at least you'll know what you're facing, and you can sort of begin to move on to the next phase.
Well, I'll be depression. Yeah,
there'll be people who'll be disappointed on both sides, Alan. But it'll be better than the stress that we're going through now, the anxiety we're facing.
I hear you, and I certainly feel some of that myself. However, I do think a great PhD thesis would be to trace Advil sales.
How about alcohol sales?
How about Adderall? So what is the American Psychological Association put out how to de-stress and limit your media consumption to just enough to stay informed. Spend time with friends and family doing things that you enjoy.
That first one is just dumb.
Why?
Because it means shutting off the radio.
Right.
Just enough. When is it enough? Yeah.
Yeah, I woke up this morning, turned on the TV, and there was Donald Trump Jr. I mean, if I had instantly turned off the TV then, I was still infected with fear.
You're hooked at that point.
What's the second one?
Avoid discussions that could escalate to conflict.
Like this what one.
Like this one, right.
What do you mean?
Unless you're on the round table, and then continue that discussion.
Remember that life will go on. Avoid catastrophizing.
That's a great
catastrophizing,
verb, isn't it? Yes. Turning catastrophe into a verb.
And clearly written by a Trump supporter.
And maintain a balanced perspective. So certainly we do that here. We'll help in that regard. And vote. It's a proactive step. So, yes.
I
think that's good advice.
I'll tell you what else to do.
Yeah. What else, Alan?
Stress reliever. Okay. I read this. I read it.
Okay.
You breathe in.
And you hold your breath.
You hold your breath. For 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And then in 5 staccato breath outs, you go, okay, so here it is.
You can also have a baby doing that.
Well, I'm just telling you what I read.
That's
as Arlo would say.
I remember this.
As Arlo would say, I read it.
Oh, look, I had a little baby.
I read it. So here's what it is. Everybody try now.
Don't forget the effleurage.
1, 2, 3.
Okay, we're really getting loony here.
Yeah,
it's
but you know,
I think humor should be on that list, Joe.
Yes. Absolutely.
I think humor has helped us cope with some of the stress that this election has brought to.
Yeah, well, I'm a fairly humorous person.
Yeah.
Sure you are.
All right. We have a break we have to get to. We will check our funny bones at the door, and we'll be right back.
Support for WMT comes from the Berkshire Medical Center Joint Replacement Program. Using Mako-assisted arthroplasty for hip and knee replacement, berkshirehealthsystems.org. Mizzen Top Day School, Pauling, a co-ed pre-K through 8th grade independent school with small classes and an emphasis on values, academics, and community. Explore, experience, discover, mizzentop.org. the Preservation League of New York State, offering EPIP, a revolving loan program to acquire, stabilize, and restore historic buildings in New York, preserveNYS.org. And Allardyce Glass and Mirror, Saratoga Springs, New York, providing sales, service, and installation of glass, shower enclosures, mirror, and screen products for the home, Allardyce.com.
So there seems to be a great, you know, we want to clarify things in this program, and we want to, of course, clarify things about the important issues. So apparently, this is the story that we're being told anyway, that Donald Trump boasted that Tom Brady voted for him. However, according to Tom Brady's wife, the family is not supporting Donald Trump. So
what does that mean?
What does that mean?
Well, right. So
Donald Trump claims he got a letter from, as you said, Alan, from Bill Belichick.
Remind me who Bill Belichick is.
He's the head coach.
Yeah,
of your son's favorite team.
And he said he called today and said, "I support you. You're my friend, and I voted for you." Trump told a crowd in Manchester, all right, saying this about Tom Brady.
Ticket sales just went down.
Okay. He added that Brady gave him a blessing to spill the beans on the endorsement, although it was later revealed that Brady would have had to deliver an absentee ballot no later than 12 p.m. Monday. On Tuesday morning, the station reported that Brady voted in Brookline, Massachusetts at 10:09 on Monday. This is all big stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then the New York Post reports that it turns out that Tom Brady and his wife, Gisele Bündchen, said that they will not be supporting the GOP presidential nominee. The Brazilian supermodel was asked whom the pair was backing after Trump claimed at a Manchester rally Monday night that Brady called to say that he had voted for them.
That is so maddeningly roundabout.
Bündchen said no.
It sounds like they canceled out each other's vote.
They paired, as we say in Congress.
Yeah, pair. Yeah, one voted for him and one did not.
Gisele, I heard you and Tom were backing Trump. Is that true? And she said, no, we are not supporting him. That's what she said. So I don't know what to think.
Sure.
So maybe you can still support the team.
Doesn't matter.
No.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Doesn't matter. Great question, Rosemary. If you have a good friend and you find out that they're supporting the person you're not supporting, is that going to end that friendship?
Certainly.
I have many like
just
that.
Just want to
many,
get that straight.
I've moved back to my hometown, and my high school friends are, as a block, Trump supporters, and I try very hard to understand their points of view, and I really do think they're crazy. I'm serious, and I don't mean that in a negative way. It's like they're telling me that Hillary has killed people, that the Clintons are behind a series of murders that were made to look like suicides, that Benghazi is all this stuff that's been investigated, that I know objectively about. They have a totally different view on it. And I like these people. I would like to like them. And I don't know how we're going to come together later. I'm going to read this editorial by Jay.
You have to compartmentalize.
That's exactly right, Alan. I think you do. I think you owe it to your friends who you disagree with to compartmentalize their political views and just let it all kind of play out after the election, whatever happens. And
sure.
You know, I mean, you can't do it any other way. You can't just use it as a litmus test whether I'm going to continue as a friend of yours.
I do hold it, though, in the back of my head. You know, a favorite uncle who began, who are you going to vote for, turned into this rant against Hillary as a criminal. I will think about that every time I talk to him.
The reason people feel so strongly is because they have been bombarded with so much information about, negative information about each candidate.
But they have about Trump. Well,
about each candidate.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I mean, one of the reasons you may feel the way you do about Trump, I suggest, is because you have been bombarded with information from the Hillary camp about his faults.
I want to change the subject, but only slightly, and that is what Bill Maher interviewed the President of the United States for his program last Friday. Yes, finally. It was a birthday present for Bill Maher. Bill Maher gave him $1 million, and everyone else got to interview him, but finally Bill Maher got to interview him. So Bill Maher said to the president that he said that I know liberals made a big mistake because we attacked President George W. Bush like he was the end of the world.
And he's not. We attacked Mitt Romney. We attacked the way I gave Obama $1 million. I was so afraid of Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney wouldn't have changed my life that much, or yours, or John McCain. They were honorable men who we disagreed with, and we should have kept it that way. So basically his point being that we cried wolf, and that was wrong. Do you feel?
That's interesting.
Do you see?
I think that's a remarkable thing for Bill Maher to say, you know, because he is part of the liberal left.
Did Bill Maher say it, or did the president say it?
No, Bill Maher said it to the president.
Yeah, I find that remarkable, and I think there's a lot to learn from it, and I think that's what we have to come away from this election as. Whoever wins this election, whoever loses.
But do you think that because the left.
We demonize the other side so much. I mean, you see it in the local race. You see John Faso
and
Zephyr Teachout. And both of them are remarkably qualified people, in my opinion. And it's a great race because there's two really good people who have disagreements but still are capable people. And their ads are destroying, or the PAC ads that each are having are destroying each other.
Well, you know, that's very nicey-nicey of you to say.
Right.
Nicey-nicey.
I'm not done yet.
Wasn't that a character in Guys and Dolls?
Nicey-nicey. Nicey-nicey, yeah.
Nicey-nicey, how are you?
That's very nicey-nicey of you to say. Okay. However, let's ask this question, Mike, just to take the other side for the heck of it. Let's ask the question that suppose... one of the candidates comes on and subverts the democracy towards a fascistic forum. You see? Don't you see? So then, would you be saying the same thing? You know, it's all in good fun and, you know, people...
No. Yeah. I think what Bill Maher... Now, I didn't read everything that Joe has in front of him, but Bill Maher was making the point that we destroyed John McCain with rhetoric, we destroyed Mitt Romney and made him a demon with rhetoric, and now that you look back, man... A lot of people would be happy to have them on the ticket tomorrow.
Because we're looking back. Right. I think that's the point here. We are looking back, you know, and we've changed our mind. A lot of water under the bridge. Mitt Romney stood up courageously very early in this thing and really let Donald Trump have it. So my view of Romney is very different than when he left the dog on the top of his car.
So perhaps was the rhetoric that attacked him so viciously back 4 years ago, perhaps was that over the top and maybe a mistake?
No, he deserved it, and so did George Bush. And it's John Stewart said the same thing Maher did a long time ago, saying, why can't we say I disagree and not call the guy a Nazi? And then comes along a guy who really is a Nazi. Yes, keep talking. Talking.
who could possibly be on the ticket for?
How do you
years?
Really feel, Rosemary?
I've listened a long time without saying it.
By the way,
yes,
who could be on the ticket in 4 years that would make you look back at Trump and say, you know, oh, wow. It wasn't so bad?
Yeah.
Steve Bannon.
Right. Okay.
I have an article from the American Psychological Association where they have some tips for
about
you.
Stress?
Yeah, about this.
Yeah, I could use that.
Take a hike.
Breathe in.
That thing about turning off the radio is not going to work. I'll tell you.
Breathe in. Do Alan's little breathing
breathe
technique.
In, breathe in and then, you know, hold it 3 minutes, 3 seconds, and then breathe out in five.
Which I just realized sounds really weird on the radio.
Okay. You want these read or not?
We have like 2 or 3 minutes.
Okay. Jim says, as a Florida resident, my phone has been ringing continuously with what I assume are political robocalls and pollsters. I stopped answering weeks ago. And TV has been wall-to-wall with abrasive negative ads. Understand the stress disorder related to this election. And that's from Jim. All right. By the way, there are a lot of people in this country who get lists. I know them. Volunteers who get lists of people in different states that they call. And they are literally volunteers who have a list of people to call in different places. Isn't that interesting?
On an unrelated note, but this is just interesting, do you know that the Justice Department is sending people in to monitor the elections in 67 jurisdictions in 28 states?
But not as many as they did last year.
That's
in
not
the last
as many
presidential
as last
election.
Time?
And the reason for that is because the Supreme Court went after the Voting Rights Act. And that is one of the reasons that they can't send as many in. And by the way, they're not going to be in like they were the last time. They're going to be outside. And sort of taking a look at this. Anyway, Sheila says, voting in Bearsville, New York, part of Woodstock, I was told to remove my nasty woman's T-shirt. Your thoughts? Do you guys remember? Of course, everybody remembers when Everybody remembers when the guy during the Iraq invasion bought the T-shirt in the mall.
In
the Cross Gates Mall. And then he bought it there and was told it was violating the law to say peace on earth, goodwill
towards
men. I
think you're going in without a shirt would be more disruptive.
Depends.
Yeah. I agree with Rosemary. Being without a shirt at all probably would be more disruptive, and they probably would send the person
and
out.
Who is I was told, passive voice, who told you? Did you obey? And it seems to me that's freedom of expression.
Yes, but I mean, there is a prohibition to campaigning inside a polling place. Yeah. And you can't put like a Trump poster or a Clinton poster in where the voting takes place.
So Nasty Woman now belongs to vote for Hillary. That's kind of cool.
Nasty Woman? It could be, yeah.
Ildo says, hello, dear panel. I like dear panel. Hello, dear panel. Hello, dear.
Hello.
I would like to thank all of those who fought hard to give me the right to vote today. Long live liberty and democracy. And that's from Ildo.
We're going to pause there. We have to take a break. We'll be back after this.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable panel. Let me remind you who our panelists are. You know, but I'm going to remind you anyway. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Mike Spain make up the group. And we welcome your letters. Panel@WAMC.org. Panel@WAMC.org. It is election day. We are assuming you've already voted, but if you haven't, you know what you have to do. Let's go to a couple of items in the news. On this election day, we'll go through them pretty quick, if you will. One, the article in the New York Times that asked this question, how did the FBI review thousands of emails in 1 week? Question mark.
Well, the real problem there was that there were never really 650,000 emails in play. That was a number put out by the Trump administration. That's how many emails there were on that laptop. But we were only interested in the ones that were Hillary Clinton's, and that was only a small number of them.
I have heard that they used the computer program.
Well, they did.
To help them sort through this.
Of course.
Yeah.
They could weed out all the duplicates right there, and that knocked a big bunch of them out. They've already looked at those.
But I still say, I'm sorry, I don't want to start it all over again, but Comey has a great deal to answer for, because I thought his involvement in this was nothing short of disgraceful. And they really did, and what really happened here was that it put a stop to a good part of the Hillary ascension that was going on at the time. And I think Chuck Schumer had it right. He said, we're going to have discussions about this.
One of the questions that is asked in this article, which I think is a really good one, which is, why didn't the government tell us that this would only take a week?
Well,
because
they
said they were going to try to do it in 8 days.
What if they had found one or more emails that were very questionable? They had never seen them before. They might have been classified. It was the worst thing they'd ever seen. It would not have taken 8 days or 7 days. There was no way to know that ahead of time.
It only took 7 days to make the world.
That's a good point, Alan.
You always go to the Bible when you want a good source. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's
a good point.
This will be debated for a long time.
Someone just wrote to me about how they, it was on Facebook, that they like listening to me when my facts are right, but they prefer Alan, who always has his facts right. I hope that person is listening to this.
It only took
7 days to make the world.
You think that that's wrong?
Yes.
And for those of us with a religious orientation?
Yes.
All right. I think that God's capable of making the world in 7 days, and that's really all that matters.
She is pretty capable.
Nice.
Second question, another New York Times article. What will happen to financial markets after the election?
Okay, here you go. Ready?
Go.
Alan's prediction. Yesterday, they went up 250 points just on the idea that maybe Hillary was going to win. Hillary wins, the Democrats are going to gain a thousand points on the stock market the day after Hillary wins. No, it'll be up there for a while because it's a good predictor of the economy and continuing to go as upward as it has.
Actually, the economy is doing pretty well by many measures. Unemployment is below 5%.
But this will be a good boost. Yeah. And if in fact it goes down, if Trump wins, it'll go down.
But will it come back up? I mean, 3 months from now,
depends what he does.
Wins, it'll probably be the same.
Here's one of my favorite lines in the article. Market swings over the course of the election suggest that people and institutions with money on the line view a world with Mrs. Clinton as president offering a less volatile economic and financial environment than one with Donald Trump in charge.
Right. They don't like change. They don't even it's not about the politics of the candidate. It's about the stability. That's what the people in the market want. They want predictability and stability.
And they have no
idea.
And
there's less of that with Trump, I believe.
They have no idea what Trump is going to do.
You kidding? That's of the course problem. There is.
Rosemary, you want in on this?
I know okay. I don't think it matters. I think there'll be a lot of movement, but it won't be permanent, and we gotta wait and see.
I have a friend who he and his wife are planning a major kitchen renovation, and he said a few weeks ago, I'm just waiting till after the campaign before I sign all the paperwork and commit to spending that kind of money. Now, do you know anybody who is making holding off on any life decisions or any important economic decisions until after today?
Well, Alan's waiting to buy a ticket to Ireland, I know.
Yes.
And will you not go if, depending on the outcome of the election?
If one outcome happens, I'll stay.
Really?
I've been kidding around about this Galway thing for a long time, several weeks now. I have been hearing from people who say, no, Alan, you have an absolute obligation to stay here and fight if this doesn't work the way you want it to. Oh. And you owe it to us. And I see the logic of that position.
My son is reporting that he has never seen lines that are there right now in New York City to vote.
Yeah.
They are huge.
Just looking at the reports of places where polls are open in much of the country now.
Yeah.
Long lines reported.
I hope that's a good sign.
Well, New York City is hardly the place that one wants to make a judgment.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's well. There's that. Yes. And final issue, and then we'll finish up with some letters, and we end with this topic, and it's a good one, I think. Which is, we have heard a lot in these closing days about the tightening of the race and the polls, and then they're becoming somewhat of a 3 to 4 point spread between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, and the long-term influence that the original Comey decision had on Hillary Clinton, and then it was thought that it would actually have more of an effect down ballot and on the Senate, and the possibility that the Democrats could take the Senate. So what do you make of that now? Republicans are feeling the best they have this cycle about their chances of holding the majority in the Senate, but doing that would require several states to break their way on election night. That's a risky place to be one day before control of the Senate is decided. So this was last night's reporting.
Well, you know, Joe, the Comey, there are a lot of people who have different theories on why Comey did what he did. My prime theory is he was just weak, and he was getting it from all sides and decided he had to do something. But there are those people who think that he, Comey, a Republican, heard from a lot of the down-ballot Senate people who say you got to do something, otherwise we're going to lose the Senate, and it's up to you. Now, that's pure hypothesis. Nobody really knows if that's true, but there is a certain amount of substantiation in that he is a Republican and that people may have been leaning on him to do that. There are several other hypotheses, none of which I think fit the bill.
Well, it's interesting, the question today of where the Senate will go. Both the New York Times and Nate Silver are giving a very, very slight edge to the chances of the Democrats actually taking over the Senate, which is actually a lower percentage chance than a few weeks ago. And certainly the Comey thing may have been an impact on that down ballot kind of thing. But they're both today, and when I looked this morning, while subject to change, you know, by the rest of the day, they're both saying it's like 50.7 percent that it will go to versus 49.3% that it will stay Republican, 50.7% that it will go for Democrats.
So close.
The New York Times has it 52-48, and you know, it is a very possible likelihood that the Senate could go Democratic. That would give Hillary Clinton some ability to get some things through, like
Supreme Court
nominations.
Because what will happen with the Supreme Court, I've been thinking about this a lot, what will happen with the Supreme Court is it's not necessary that they'll have the votes. But what's been happening with McConnell is he refuses to bring it up, and I'll tell you why he does that, to let the Obama nomination come up. And the reason for that is that there are many Republican senators who would have to vote for it. And they, if you keep it off the table and you say you can't do it, you can't win. And that's what that's all about. So if the Democrats take the Senate, at least you'll get a vote.
That's true. And it won't be Mitch McConnell. It'll be our own New York Senator Chuck Schumer, who will be the Senate Majority Leader, which—
That's big stuff.
Yeah.
As you all know, Chuck Schumer has done many major things, but the best of all is his creation of the Subway sandwich, which he sends his staff out to, called the Schumich. And he sends his staff out. He did it when he was here. Says, go get me a Schumich.
Really?
Yeah. I forget what's in it, but I know there's lettuce and tomato in it.
That sounds terrific.
When does this end?
Wait, got about 8 minutes. Hold on.
No, elections. We're talking about
elections. Don't you think people are interested in
do
that?
Do you want a Schumich just to hold you over?
Just to plug my ears.
All right, let's go to some letters.
Okay, here we go. I don't know too many Trump voters, but the people I'll find hard to forgive are those who either don't vote today or who vote for third-party candidates, especially if the results are close enough for Trump to pursue the claim that the elections are rigged, and that's from Anne of Pine Hills. A gentleman stormed out of our polling place today when he was told he wouldn't be issued a receipt. He said he was told that the only way to avoid voter fraud that's the only way to avoid voter fraud. Is there such a thing?
Not that I've ever heard of.
There are polling places that will offer a receipt that you voted, but it's just to let you know that it actually happened. But I don't know.
I vote the machine. When you feed it your ballot, it says your vote has been counted. That's the only thing. And I even miss the little stickers that used to say I voted.
I wanted to save one this morning.
Yeah, voting for the first time for a woman. I wanted to save it for my granddaughter. They don't have them.
Some people do. I just have a picture on Twitter of it.
I see them on Twitter, but where do they vote? I want that.
Yeah, it's up to the local polling place.
I got to write to my local
polling
place.
What I didn't see when I voted this morning was an array of delicious baked goods being sold.
They had that at mine.
Oh,
they
had
that at mine. Fire Station West Auburn.
Were they at your historic voting place?
They were stocking the crock pot.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah, they were putting the baby carrots and the stew beef into the crock pot.
Oh. Ian couldn't have had any of that. Ann says, I think
we live in farm country.
I think that there's a big thing. Consider the cow. I think there's a big difference between conspiracy theories about Clinton and the vile words and actions we have seen with our own eyes from Trump. Agree media has contributed to perceptions, but this is another false equivalency, and that's from Ann. You say them, we read them. Julius, our old friend Julius, says, can't agree with Mike. I listened critically to both sides. Sorry, but Palin was just weird. And Trump's declarations and Trump's declarations are not reassuring. And details of any policies he's released just don't make any sense. Let's see here. Hello, panel. Notice to New York State voters, the propositions are on the back of the paper ballot. I totally missed them when I voted this morning. So don't forget to flip the ballot over. But as you said, Mike, this depends on the locality. Some local elections.
Right. There are no New York State propositions.
No, I don't think there are.
But in Albany County, you can vote on whether or not for a new charter.
I believe in all of the states that we cover, if you go to the website of your county and you put in your election district, you can see the ballot beforehand and become familiar with it, so you're not looking at it, and it will tell you what it is and what you're doing. And so it may be worth it just before you go out to do that.
Anyway, Virginia says, I love Rosemary's rants. They are truths wrapped in passion. Keep on keeping on, Rosemary.
Okay. I love your raving, Rosemary.
Okay.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
And then there is Steve from Lee, who says, some voting places are allowing to bring puppies in to release the stress of voters.
Oh, I love that. Stress reliever. That's better
that
than
is
heavy
good.
Breathing.
And John says, our system works best when we fight the good
fight. Depends.
Yeah, there's a stress reliever.
Our system works best when we fight the good fight. See who wins and loses, then unite behind the winner to go forward. We need to remember to sing God Bless America in unison more often. It is an emphasis on the ties that bind us rather than the discord that divides us. That needs to be front and center after this election. And then Wayne says probably the best letter of the morning, Alan Chartok for president 2020.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, gosh.
And
it's a cult movement.
Get ready.
And Stephen says, let's not forget that there are other important people and items on the ballot today that deserve your attention and vote. And Catherine says, you quoted Donald Trump's boast that unlike Hillary, he didn't need entertainment celebrities at his rallies. But like so much of what he says, that's not true. He had Ted Nugent. Which says it all. Somebody remind me about Ted Nugent again.
He's a little crazy. I don't know. How would you describe him, Mike?
No, I thought that was a good description.
Okay, I don't know how. He's a singer. He's he was very popular at a time. And
he wasn't around in the 60s when I stopped listening.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right, and then.
Well, let me ask Alan.
Of course.
Apropos the previous writer. You know, what else are you watching today besides?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask him about running for president.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What I do is I go to Channel 58, the old movie channel.
Uh huh.
And then they have relevant movies that have to do with presidential elections, things like The Farmer's Daughter, maybe, or something like that. And then I watch those. And then if they're not on, I watch Walker, Texas Ranger, or Gunsmoke.
Are the best election movies? You know, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Well, yeah.
All the President's Men.
All the President's Men. And what's the one about the old governor, the Huey Long, the Huey Long one? Oh, boy. Some say it's the best movie ever made, you know. After checking the polls, I would like to thank those thoughtful Republicans in my state of Massachusetts. It gives me room to cast a protest vote for the left against corporate rule, police militarization, drone wars, oil pipelines, mass incarceration, and neglect of global warming. And that's John from Williamsburg.
That's a grim letter.
Huh? I think it's all, well, never mind. I know HRC is getting a big push from the Mount Holyoke College to make her story, and that's from Christine. Okay. And then what would the panel's focus for an hour and a half each day be with after the elections?
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
Yeah, we'll do something.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about.
And Marjorie said, I just voted in our very rural northern Greene County town of New Baltimore, 3rd District. Turnout is very heavy. Kudos to my neighbors. And that's from Marjorie. And Stephanie, I'm so sorry, says, just a coincidence that the Comey comments Alan was making were interrupted before he made his points by an emergency alert system announcement and interminable buzzing. Aha! Uh-huh. It's obviously a,
conspiracy.
Thank you, Joe. It's obviously a conspiracy. Alan, please repeat what you were saying. You've heard it all before, folks. you know how I feel about this Comey thing. I think it was a disgrace. And Joel from Port Jervis. Hello, panel. I'm 69, but I look 68. I just applied for a passport for the first time in my life, just in case things don't go well today and there's a need to make a quick run to the border. That's very wise of you, Joel from Port Jervis. First of all, you got a little ride ahead of you. Secondly, in the old days, you could get on the plane, just go to Canada, but not anymore. Now you need a passport with you.
That's true.
You remember, Joe, when I was going up to a meeting?
I remember you were going to Toronto and you forgot your passport and we had to get it to you.
Yeah, it wasn't easy.
It was a, how many WMCers does it take to get Alan's passport?
That's an interesting question. Yes. I once forgot mine. My sisters had to do it. They've been extracting favors for me ever since to pay me back.
Sure. Well, that's what I have, Joe.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time. We want to remind you a couple of things. One, I am assuming that this will be the topic of Vox Pop today, yes?
I hadn't thought much about it, but I was going to ask our producer, Jim Lavoulis, who, you know, basically tells me what to do.
Normally on Tuesday, it's open forum.
A
political open forum. I would assume an election day.
You got
we'll
an
be
idea?
About the election.
Got an idea how to focus it sort of like...
Well, let me see if I can get Ted Nugent.
Yeah.
Hey, Alan.
anyway, so we'll be obviously we'll be covering the election all day long on our news magazines. Midday Magazine, Northeast Report Late Edition. A reminder, beginning at 6:30, we will continue with All Things Considered and NPR coverage, bringing us straight through to 8 o'clock when NPR and WAMC election coverage will begin. Alan and I will be here through whenever, question mark, until things have firmed up.
And then...
And then tomorrow morning, we will be back here in the panel and everybody, the whole group, Mike Spain, Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post, Teresa Bourgeois, Chris Churchill, Barbara Smith, and Alan Shartok will all be on the stage at the Linda. That is a sold-out event, but we will be taking all of our questions from the audience. And if you do have tickets, a reminder, hey, that's tomorrow. So
you could put up a giant television. And my question would be, what kind of bunting is going to be around the building? Is it going to be, you know, America Kana will be sort of, you know, black bunting?
Yes, we can borrow it from the firehouse. we'll see you all tomorrow, and you can hear us then, and we'll see how this all turns out. Thank you all very much for participating today, and we'll be back after this.